right, let's go. We are live. It is Wednesday. It's already halfway through January. When the hell did that happen?
Everyone says this every year.
I know.
January has not been January because I'm making so much money.
Are you? You're kicking ass.
January, what is different this year? Let's talk about why was 2024 so hard for everyone? I don't remember seeing any. It doesn't matter how successful you were. If I made 1 rand in 2024, it felt like it was more difficult than making 1 rand in 2023.
I think it was.
But why? I think it felt tiring. I felt tired.
I think people have. We can't help it, right? No matter how much of an individualist you are, no matter how much of an individual you think you are, humans are. We operate on a herd mentality, right?
Yeah.
So if the herd is feeling negative, and the word spreads through the herd, and word spreads faster than fucking ever now, that there's limited food, that there's war, that there's that the world's getting worse, that it's more dangerous, it's more desperate, it's more difficult.
Okay.
Then that becomes the herd mentality, and the herd mentality drags everyone down. When there is hope, when there is excitement, when there is change, when there is possibility, when there's opportunity, the herd's general mental proclivity to good increases. Mm. And I feel like every year you have the opportunity of being one of those people who goes with the herd or of making your own way. And fortunately, I think that there are enough people in the world who've gone, nah, we've had a couple of lean years now, let's have some fat years.
Okay.
I think it's changing. I definitely feel like it's changing.
So are you trying to tell me that American politics affected us on the tip of Africa?
Even our politics. You mustn't forget that we had this election last year.
You were very involved in it.
And how much of a change. You see how quickly we move on. Like as soon as we've achieved one of the things that we want, and this is a big problem, especially with guys who are achievers. As soon as you've done what you wanted, what you set out to do, that becomes your default. And you never take stock of it anymore. You don't go, well, I did pretty well, didn't I? You go, now what's next? So you never really improve to the point where you can actually like take stock and be pleased and be proud of yourself and realize that you've already ticked off so many of the goals.
Yeah, that's a good point. I suffer from that. I suffer from achieving something and then my world going, oh, obviously you serve. And then me going, obviously I'm serve. Right? So like even now, my engagement for successful posts doesn't get what it used to get.
You don't care.
I don't care, but I don't care. But it's interesting how people do expect me to do fine and to do well. Right?
What, your posts?
No, man. I'm just saying, when I say posts, I'm talking about general life.
Oh, okay.
So if I do something good, people will be like, oh, that's what I expect. I do the same thing to myself. But I don't take a moment to go, that was good.
Right.
That's good. Do you take time to do that?
Yeah.
Because I don't see you celebrating your wins as much as you.
No, I don't see you. But I'm getting better at it. Yeah. Like, I do. I'm grateful.
Yes.
Okay, so, hi. It is good to be grateful, right? It is good to have like some idea of like, these are the things that I'm happy. Thank you so much. This is terrific. Service with a smile.
But another thing I've seen you do recently, which you say you always have done, I've seen you share more family content. And I called you out on that in the DMs.
Yeah, you did actually.
I did.
Yeah, I remember that.
What's that? Is that
first of all, I never post anything
with
anyone without their permission. That's always been a rule of mine.
Okay.
So If I post a picture with friends or family, I've said to them, listen, I'm going to put this up. Because it used to just attract unnecessary attention. Now, and it's only really on Instagram. I don't really post a lot of that stuff on X. But it's because I'm grateful for them.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm very lucky. I love my family. I'm fortunate to have a family that's worth loving.
Okay.
we have a lot of fun together. In fact, I was talking to someone just a week ago about how wholesome this December was for me. Like, I didn't do any of the things that I would usually do, you know, traveling around, holidays, drinking, partying, being around like tons of people, trying to squeeze 7,000 things into every day. None of that stuff. I was actually just very chilled, family time. I spent a lot of time with my my little nephews, my sister, her boyfriend, my parents. It was nice. I'm It's a decision that I made a while ago that I'm going to make an effort. It's not an effort. It's actually a pleasure to spend time around them. Because how do you know when they're not there anymore?
And so when I asked you about that, you say that you always do it, but I have seen a difference.
Yeah, probably. Probably. That's the short answer. When did euphoria become the litmus test? Happiness is a goal to work towards, not a default setting. Well, oh, wow. That's because of dopamine, Congo Chris. That's because we get a hit out of doing the things that make us happy, and then we expect happiness to be the default. Mm. So this is where you hear people saying, this makes me uncomfortable. You know when people talk about that?
Yeah.
You should be uncomfortable. You should be uncomfortable 99%
of
the time.
Yeah.
If you are comfortable all the time, you are not great.
Okay. I was speaking to someone who was speaking about how no one celebrates the lows anymore. We're not supposed to celebrate being low, but I do think there's a time of knowing that if I'm low now, I have to work towards being high, but a high can't be your everyday.
I used to, up to a little while ago, I was very worried about you because you kept on bringing up that you were still grieving about your mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that you're one of my close friends. I'd like
you to. Always say that. You always say
but,
that.
Every time I see, we don't see enough of.
Every time I see you with a group of friends on the couch, I'm always like, I wonder why I'm not there.
Because you live in Cape Town and you're busy with. you're busy banging your brains out.
Cliff, I don't think you ever stop grieving, my friend. I don't think you do.
Let me finish the thought. So what worried me for a little while about you, and again, I'm not the kind of friend who gets involved in people's feelings, right? You must deal with it. It's your path to walk. I'm there to help you. I'm there for a good time. If you want to go out and have a party, I'm there. Okay. I'm not the kind of friend who you're going to sit down and we're going to like unpack your misery with, you know?
Yeah, I think I am.
But I totally got it. And I've never even said this to you, but I think it's really powerful to see that you're not just trying to package it and throw it away.
Mm-mm.
You're keeping it with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pendant that you wear around your neck, right? And it doesn't weigh you down.
Mm-mm.
If anything, it does the same thing for you that I'm doing when I'm spending time with my family over December. It makes you grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And you are grateful. You're acknowledging what your mother did in your life, which I think is magnificent. How many people try to just move on as quickly as possible, and they actually don't take the trouble to think about the thing, to deal with the thing, to incorporate it into their plan?
Yeah, so I think for me, my choms, I think I would have ended it all if I didn't do what I did. You're gonna think this is gonna sound stupid and cliche, but Instagram saved me because I would put something up, then my DMs would have 20 people who've lost mothers, then they would teach me something, then I would share what they've done there, then it became like a trauma counseling.
You ended up growing a group therapy session around you.
Which
is real. I'm not making mocking it.
But if you ever lost your mom, I would be the first person to drop you a message, and that message will make more sense than it would now.
It's so funny. A very good friend of mine lost his dad like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him, he said a lot because he came to my house shortly after and we had some people there, but he arrived early and we had a chat about this. And I said to him, how are you doing? And he said, no, I'm okay. He said, you only really become a man when you lose your father, which I thought was an interesting observation. The second thing he said was, you never feel the same. You'll never be the same person that you were before.
Mm-mm.
And the other thing that he said is that now he feels like it's all on him.
Mm.
Like once you don't have that strong kind of presence that you could always go, like if I think about it, the things that you can ask your dad, if you're building something, if you're making a big decision or whatever, you would ask him, and you would have done this with your mom too. And then when they're not there anymore, and you have to be the final judge and jury, you're like, okay, I'm going to do it this way. Even after you've got all the advice from the experts and all that stuff, that was the person you trusted the most. And I thought that those three things that he said to me were the most kind of, I've remembered them on purpose, because it's going to happen, right? It's the natural way of things too, that it is right that you lose your parents, because it first of all teaches you about mortality, because your time's coming one day, much as people like you and I don't want to think about it. And they prepare the way for you, like they did when you were a kid. They have to prepare your way for the next chapter as well, which is like, where do you go after this?
What I can say about on the topic is that there was a time when I was enjoying the hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
Like almost getting off on it?
No. It was a release.
It felt safe.
It felt safe.
Warm.
I had to get out of that world. I knew I had to get out of that world.
First of all, how did you know it was bad? And second of all, how did you get out?
I don't know if bad's the word.
How did you know you couldn't stay there? In that, like, this grief and sadness feels good.
Because I knew I was going out to find an outlet to feel, and that would be sex. It would be, I needed to feel, and for me, my thing was sex and cuddles and kind of a thing, and that was.
Aren't you glad it wasn't drugs and like?
Yeah. But my
or out, violence.
Yeah, my out.
Oh,
was,
and your pole dance.
Yeah.
That was also.
Yeah, that was an out. But then I knew my mother would have said, "What are you doing? What a waste of time. Like, all that work I put in and now you're wasting it." That's what I felt. But then there was a time when a woman cut me off and I was on a motorbike going like 130 kilometers per hour.
Jesus.
Whatever. And the lady cut me off and it happened in slow motion.
Jesus.
I remember she was there and I didn't pull the brakes. Slow motion. And then for a split second I was like, "Thank God I can see my mom again."
Oh.
Just for a split second.
Oh.
Just for a second. And I didn't pull the brakes. And I was going straight towards her, and then I would have hit her, like, middle.
T-bone.
So, yeah, I would have hit her seat here, and then I would have hit right in the middle. Whatever. And then for a split second, I thought, "Okay, Mom, I'm coming." And then for a split second, I was like, no. Then I went, and then whatever. And then I just hit the fat of the car, and I didn't fall off. But if I hit straight, I'm dead, right?
Yes.
And then I got off the motorbike. Cool. I didn't fall. Then I was like, okay, I picked to live. Let's go. And that was about a year and 6 months in.
That's fucking
And nice. Then I went on the phone. Then I shared content. Then I spoke about her. And it was the first time I laughed and spoke about her. Then I was like, okay. Then I was like, okay, let's go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But ready to die. Ready to die.
Fuck, that's hectic.
But yeah.
Grief doesn't go away. We shouldn't want it to go away. You just get better at dealing with it, feeling it. That's Lee. I like that. Carl says, "My mom's falling apart. Mostly spare parts in the mind of a Biden. Siv has inspired me to be more grateful."
Who is this contest?
Yeah, he's a nutcase. Yeah, I love it. Vyasan says, "Once you lose your parents, you don't really belong to anyone anymore." That's interesting.
Yeah, that's good.
No matter what you do in life, your parents always see you as a child and will support you. There is a really great guided journal called "I Want to Hear Your Story, Dad." I got my dad one for Christmas and he absolutely loves it. It also means you have some tangible stories and guidance.
You know,
that's interesting. That's cool. I do like that. And
to end of my thing about grief, I just want to say another hard part about losing a mother is I know she's up there watching me fuck. It's difficult, man. Like,
can we just quickly talk about the weird guy who
Someone just came in here. He looks like he could be a serial killer.
So this dude, I mean, he must be a foreigner, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So he's like Belgium or Holland or some one of those fucking places, Benelux countries. He came in here with this like bowl of cereal or something, and he just. Like, this is a private sort of dining room, but he obviously just doesn't want to be in the main area. And he didn't mind listening to the show. We didn't keep his attention the whole time because he left.
No.
But we did all right.
But if my mom's listening...
So you think your mother's watching you
I think
sex.
Sometimes God goes, you can't see this, Jackie. He's doing what to his lady? He's putting it up where? You can't put it there, my baby.
But she would be impressed at how much ass you're getting.
If you listen to this, I only see one woman at a time. But yeah, there is a weird part of me that goes, is she sitting watching
you what?
Me have
listen,
sex?
This is something nobody ever does. As a guy, I'm proud of you for getting so much ass.
Yeah.
Like, I like that my friend is getting just a ton. And by the way, that these various women, or maybe one, I don't know, that they're really enjoying it.
At the moment, I'm actually taking a break from it. I'm just seeing one woman at the moment.
Lies.
Taking Cliff. I literally am seeing one woman.
Lies.
I've retired from the game. I've retired from the game.
You know, I was talking to someone about this the other day, because I'm a happy guy. Mm. And I always say this and people don't believe me, so I have to keep reiterating it, and then I have to explain it to them. Like, I wake up and there's no one else I want to be. No one else.
Yeah.
Which is great. I'm just lucky. I didn't earn it. It's just a thing. And what makes me even more happy than the 95% happy I already am is when people in my life are having a good time.
Mm.
They're enjoying themselves. They are happy. Mm. So if I can see people around me being happy, it like takes it to 100.
Yeah.
Which is bonus, right? More than I deserve. Love it.
The one thing that I have that I think you are good at that I want to be better at.
That's a hell of an intro.
I struggle to see people not at their full potential. So I see, but you can move along. Not because you're a bad guy, but I know that you can move along.
What, like strangers or people you care about?
Even strangers get it. Like, if I see someone not at their full potential, bothers me.
All right, now, I'm glad you brought this.
No.
Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn for a fucking lecture.
No.
Are you ready?
No.
Because you take
it's a problem.
On,
no.
You take on responsibilities that are not yours.
Agreed.
And you take on mandates that no one gave you.
Agreed.
And you start telling people that I'm here to represent. Like,
I'm not here to represent no one. I never say that.
You do this sometimes.
When have I ever said represent?
On social media, you sometimes say, as a guy, or as a black man.
Yeah.
Or so as I don't know, but I don't know that. So, you mustn't do that shit. You're taking on responsibilities you don't need.
Agreed. So that's
your life is full.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of time to be lecturing the guy on the side of the street and telling him why he's not living to his full potential.
Agreed. So for me, I can.
You don't have time.
So I can walk past him and not lecture him, but it will sit on me. You can walk past and not.
Right? Because it comes from humility. Who the fuck are you to try and improve his life?
150%. 150%. But I won't try and fix him. I will walk past, but it will be hard to watch.
I think you sometimes stop.
So
I did a thing the other day.
Yeah.
I would never talk about this, but brought up this. Yeah. So I was sitting at the airport in Cape Town on my way out of here. I'd gone to a friend's wedding. This is in December.
Yeah.
It was the day before New Year's Eve. And there was this table of kids. They were probably 20 to 25 black kids from KZN, I could hear because it was Zulu. And they kept asking the waitress, like, how much is this? How much is this? You could see, like, they obviously had paid for this. This was their holiday. There was, like, five of them, and they were now out of money. So they were like, fuck, we need to have something before we leave, right? So I went to the waitress on my way out, and I'd had, like, orange juice or whatever the fuck it was. I said, have they already placed their order? She said, yeah. I said, just pay. I'm paying. Just get that table's fucking bill. Put it with mine and I'm out. But don't tell them.
Yeah.
Just let me, I'm going to leave now so that you can't point to me or anything. She's like, no, cool. So I paid it and I left. I didn't do that so that I could talk about it here on the show today. I didn't do it because it made me feel particularly good. I just saw, like, me and my friends a couple of years ago when you're a student and you have no money.
I did, yeah.
And you go, Now that, they're not asking for it. I'm not forcing myself into any part of their world. They just, now they can spend whatever pocket change they got left on something else.
Yeah.
Or maybe it'll just get them home. Who knows?
I'm glad you do that.
That kind of shit is, but it's not, I don't invade their space or
agreed.
Try to change them or tell them now I hope you're going to, you know, like these people who give to the homeless people and they're like, don't spend this on drugs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like either you're in, or you're not in.
So that kind of stuff, I do all the time. And I make sure I walk away and they don't see. I 150% agree with you. Where I differ, I like that it makes me feel good. You have to love the feeling. What the fuck? You're human, bruh. It's a great feeling to help other people. It's a great feeling, Jones.
No,
you don't think so?
I seriously didn't do that. That's not why I did it, and that's not how
that doesn't have to be a reason.
Felt.
But you don't feel good afterwards.
Mm-mm. Well, I felt the same.
Wow, that's where we differ. I don't help people because it feels good, but it does feel good.
Hadmin says, doing good comes back to you. You don't have to be seen or recognized.
Hallelujah.
It just comes back to you.
Agreed.
I agree with that.
Agreed.
And I know what you mean. It's like there are people, including some of the wisest people I know, who've said to me, there is no such thing as altruism. Mm-hmm. Okay, like when you do a good thing and nobody knows, it's that feeling of good that you get.
Yeah,
so that's why you're doing it. So there's no such thing as an unselfish act.
Okay.
I can sometimes believe that's true. But I know that there are unselfish people in the world. I've met them. Mm. You've met them. Sometimes you try to be that, right? And sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't. I think a lot of people are chasing highs, and they want to feel good about themselves, and that's why they do stuff. And I know yours comes from a good place. When you see someone and you want them to live up to their potential, I know it's coming from like you've discovered some secrets along the way. And you want to share them. You don't want to keep them to yourself. Mm. So you can see if there's somebody who's struggling with something that you can help them overcome.
If they want to be.
That is critical.
Yeah, critical.
So as long as you don't come in and go, ta-da, I'm your savior.
Mm. No, agree.
Then
agree,
it's
agree.
Good.
So another thing that...
It's good.
Yeah, what I find, Cliff, is that for me, I will pick up my phone and I'll share something. I won't even check the comments.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But I think
that's the way to do it.
A lot of people think I'm invested in the thing.
Mm-mm.
I have a lot of things to say, and I say them and I move on, right? But one thing my best friend and I talk about is that it's none of my business. That's what we're working on now, me and her. We're going, sometimes it's none of my business. I just got to keep on going.
If you do that, what you're doing is you're conserving the good that you can do, and you're putting it in concentrated form into the places where it'll make the most difference. If you spread yourself too thin, then... there's no value, and people won't appreciate you anymore.
I feel like that when I do threesomes.
Let me ask you about that. Okay.
Wait, I want to add one thing. Talking about doing good.
A threesome, you're doing a lot of good.
Yeah, so I was in
Japan. You're spreading a lot of love.
So I was in Japan.
And a lot of legs.
That was awesome.
Go on.
I'm in Japan.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. I just had a... No. I'm in China. Have you been?
Oh, okay.
Have you been?
I've never been to China or Japan. Tell me.
Okay. It will blow your mind. It will blow your mind. And then you'll come back and you'll be like, I was wrong about... Because I thought I had no views on China, but I was there. I'm opening up a Senator Pad factory.
Okay.
So I'm opening up a Senator Pad factory in...
I didn't know your periods were so bad.
It's a whole factory. So we literally about 1 point... at the moment, my charity distributes about 776,000 Senator Pads a month.
Fuck, that's good.
176 machines. We save about 2.5 million school days.
That's good.
So then I only reach my own Senator Pad.
That beats the hell out of me paying for a table.
I'm not comparing. So then we'll have the cheapest Senator Pads on the African continent, $350 for a packet of 8.
Wow.
Game changer. Cool. Irrelevant. So I was in China.
It's not irrelevant. That's a big deal. I'm glad you brought it up.
Cool. So I'm in China, whatever. And I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling good. I get a message in my DMs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Serv, trying to top school at my school. I got a scholarship for my school, whatever. Now they're having an internship in Germany, right? Free accommodation, free food. I'm just struggling for the last couple of months to get a flight.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So he sends me the details. So I'm feeling good, bro. I'm feeling good today. I get my PA to research if it's real. Mm-hmm. Research, everything is real. Mm-hmm. Right? I say to him, he gives me a flight, a cost for the flight. It's cheap. It's like 19,000, but there's like too many stops. So I go, cool, 26,000. I think 26,000, I'll do. So it's last minute ticket. So fewer stops. And he's not a big traveler, so he doesn't miss his flight.
Okay.
Cool. In an hour. Like in a few, when my PA does everything. Whatever. Gary, this young man misses the flight.
Ah, oh, for fuck's sake.
He misses the flight.
Done, now he's on his own.
He misses his flight.
Mm-mm.
Now, Germany, he would have been set for life, right? Internship always turns into jobs in Germany. Misses his flight. Doesn't tell me he misses his flight. The travel agent who's booking it is a friend. She goes that he says he couldn't find the check-in counter. We know the airline. The airline has a record of how often they called him.
Jesus.
His phone. Blah, 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 blah.
So what did you do?
I've done my good, bro.
So you just left it. Now it's...
I messaged him and I said, this was your chance. Mm. And you let everyone down, including yourself. Mm-hmm. And I said, all I asked for is that one day you can... Oh, when I gave him the message, when I gave him the ticket, I just said, I just want you to pass it on to someone else. I don't want you to put me on Instagram. I don't want to post. I want nothing. Mm. Don't tell anyone about it. Mm-hmm. The reason why you're hearing about it now is because he missed the flight. Sometimes you get given opportunities and then you miss them out and they get given to someone else.
Yeah.
That young boy, I'm
fucked it.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, no, that's disgusting.
Talking about good, sorry. Talking about good.
I was more interested in the idea of the threesome at the outset of this conversation because no, here's the problem, right? A lot of guys talk about how especially if they're trying to impress other people, they're like,
yeah.
I had a threesome with two girls the other night.
Who?
No. This is what guys say.
Oh, sorry.
They're trying to impress you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they don't say and what they should say is what happens between the two girls. Because if the girls are not, if they don't like each other or they're not into each other, and I'm not saying they have to be like lesbian or bisexual or whatever, but the one is always going to be the princess. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the other one feels left out.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's difficult enough to satisfy one woman.
It's very hard to manage this. So when a guy tells you that, this is good, useful information for women who are tired of hearing men talking shit, you can call them out. It's also good information for guys who are tired of their friends lying. Mm-hmm. You just say to them, bullshit. It hardly ever works. Mm-hmm. I can promise you now, it is a very rare and precious and special thing if you actually get that to work. So any guy who tells you that, I want to put that out there immediately. It's a bullshit story 90% of the time.
I just didn't know who was going to be the lucky girl who I came with.
Well, the other one was going to cry.
Yeah, because...
So
you were the regular? There's the regular. Then, because the regular usually bring someone. Should you give it there or be nice and give it to the new one?
I love how we bounce from like serious to stupid.
I just want to say that night, I definitely disappointed two women.
Yeah, that's usually what happens too. So
I just want to say, I'm mad enough to say it.
Snipe. Okay, here's an interesting thing. Snipes and they're all having a conversation here.
I know. What's that? This is the most.
Let's start with this. Hadmin says, I once offered a homeless person a full service for his dog, free spay, deworming treatment, ticks and fleas, health check. Just had to get to me. Never pitched. Makes you wonder. This happens a lot. I think it's self.
That is the whitest comment I've ever seen. I've ever read.
About spaying the dog.
You didn't offer him anything.
So I said
helping his animal. Oh, okay.
That means a bit. Okay. She was offering what would have cost the guy like thousands.
Okay.
Anyway, so there is a thing that people do. They sabotage themselves because they don't believe they can actually achieve.
Oh, yeah.
So this kid, he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
He cut his own legs off at the knees.
Oh, man.
Because somewhere inside him...
He doesn't believe he's worthy.
Exactly. This happened with a guy who we found a singer. This is years ago now. I say we, my business partner Rena and I found a singer.
How is she?
She's good.
She puts up
she's
with you.
Good. Yeah, she really puts
loves
up with
you.
A lot.
She really loves and she cares. She's always
so we find this kid who's like this really talented singer. And he and his brother sing together. And we end up like looking after them, getting them education, all of this shit. Take them off to Washington, D.C., where they perform at the Kennedy Center.
What?
Major, major thing, right? And we introduce them to a whole lot of people, and the future's looking bright. And they come back to South Africa, and they've got to start school, and they've got to get into stuff, and they both just self-sabotage. From like a difficult neighborhood in Bloemfontein in the Free State, right? Mm. Really difficult, like, situation. But they just could not... They couldn't do it because if they did it, they'd be setting a new standard for themselves and that would be too difficult to deal with. That's what I think happened with your guy. That's what happens when someone like Hermine offers someone something that they can't turn down. It's too good to turn down and yet they don't pitch. Like people just don't want to grab it because they know, now I'm going to have to be responsible for myself and the future. This could be the moment that changes things. Instead of doing that, let me just carry on being a loser. It's easier.
As much as I love achieving, and I've achieved not too bad in my life.
You've done all right.
I've done all right. I still do have big regrets about leaving America as a kid. I left America in 2005, 2006, after doing a gap year. And there were just opportunities coming up. And I left America to go get circumcised. Initiation.
The mountains. Mm. You went to the mountains.
Yeah, I did. And I look back, my chums, and I was like, what was I thinking? Then I look back at other opportunities. Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Interviewing him.
Yes. And he didn't have a long to live after that.
Yes. I was interviewing him. And he asked his people, can this guy come with us on tour?
Mm.
And I was like, no, I have
to. Can you imagine if you had gone on?
I have to go and I got a job back home. I left. So there are opportunities that we all
could have been in Wakanda, motherfucker.
Can you imagine? But I do think everyone misses opportunities, Gareth. But I do think.
Yeah, look, you're not going to be able to take
every opportunity.
But you also, you have to, it's like a decision tree, right? Everybody talks about fate and destiny, and now we're getting like from the sublime to the ridiculous or vice versa. You're going to choose a path now. And in this life, in this particular fucking consciousness that you have, that's the direction you take. But there's another Civ in a parallel universe who did take that chance.
Okay.
You're just not him.
Okay, here it is. So you and I don't believe in heaven.
Mm.
But can I tell you what my definition of hell is? My definition of hell is meeting the person that I could have become.
Oh, and they're doing better.
Yes! And they have a family.
Well.
And now I know I don't want a marriage, whatever, but I do want kids, right?
Yeah.
And if I met this guy, and he's walking around with two little twins.
And they look like you.
And they look like, they look like my mom.
Oh.
They look like my mom.
Oh, guys. Man.
Little chubby little things. Mm. Little round little things, right? And that gives me sleepless nights. And I know you say no, but Cliff.
It's that other destiny.
Yes.
Coming into your dreams.
Yes. So like.
And it has happened. It's happened.
Yeah,
I hate to break it to you.
I know, my chums.
So multiple universe theory, it's something that's happened.
So I look sometimes and I think to myself, damn it, like, what if?
Okay, so if that's the case,
yeah?
And let's just for the sake of pure fantasy. Let's imagine that you live in this multiverse where every decision you make leads to another branch in the tree, and that any number of those branches could be where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you just in this particular, this brain, this body, this is where you are. Then it's just a game. So just have fun. Just live. It's not actually a competition between you and various versions of you.
Yeah.
It's not a competition between you and all the other people. It's just experience mortality. Experience being alive. Okay. Just go for it. And as long as you don't hurt people along the way, as long as you don't do damage, if you add value, then anything is just part of the game.
So that's good to say now. I agree with the now of it.
Okay.
I'm talking about us at our deathbed. We're sitting there. And then the guy who could have become arrives. You have a conversation.
The last person I want to talk about, if I've got 5 minutes left to live, is myself.
No, you're not going to die yet. You're going to be allowed a little longer.
And I must waste that time talking to myself. Another version of me. And he must lecture me on how I fucked up.
So do you ever think about quitting? Do you ever think about quitting 5FM? Because that was the best decision of your life, but it was risky.
Maybe two, three times afterwards did I think if I should have done this, the money was easy. Yeah. It was like, but I let go very easily.
I know that. I see that.
You do too.
Yeah, I do.
So, all right. We hit on something just now that I want to go back to. And I know we've been bouncing around. It's almost 8 o'clock. I apologize. It's become like a... So there was an interesting thing you mentioned, and I want to give credit where it's due here. I'm trying to think who it was that... I listened to on a podcast just the other day. They asked three questions, and I will think of who it was, and I will give them credit before the end of the show. First question was, what do you spend most of your time doing? A, thinking about what you lack, or B, being grateful for what you have?
You said three things.
No, that's the first question.
Okay.
So which one is it?
Grateful for what I have.
Okay, good. That's very good. Yeah. Most people are still thinking about what they lack. And don't feel bad if that's you. It just means that you've got to be aware of it. And once you become aware of it, then you start being more grateful for what you do have. Like, you've got two fucking legs, you can walk. You know, our friend Alex. Everybody's thinks they're so hard done by, I don't have the new iPhone. My Wi-Fi is not working so well. Oh, have you got to pay this fucking rent or whatever? Like, you've got a lot of good shit going for you, no matter how bad it is. And the worst is people who start thinking about, like, the government and worrying about them. That's so far away from what you can control. That's the second question.
Okay.
Do you spend most of your time thinking about what you can control or what you have no control over?
What I can control.
Excellent. Right answer. Okay, so I think you've done this before.
No.
All right. Third question is, and you know why, I don't have to go into that. The third question is, do you spend most of your time in the present, in the past, or in the future?
Present.
That's hugely powerful. That is massive. You're probably one of maybe 10 people I know in the world that I actually know that are able to do that, that are able to spend most of their time in the present. Mm. I've often said on the show, because Hanan, our psychologist, says to me, you spend more than, you know, 20-30% of your time in the past, you're going to get depressed. Mm. You spend more than 20-30% of your time in the future, you're going to get anxious. Mm. Presence, being here now, is what makes you happy. This is what gives people true joy, because the joy can only be found in the present. You can plan for a future, you can fantasize about a future, you can dream about a future, but if you don't live most of your life here, so all three questions you answered right, like a, not just a balanced, contented person, but someone who's able to extract the maximum value out of life.
Agreed. There's a guy who's online here, Gareth, over here, Marco.
Yes, I know Marco.
So I met him.
Yes, you did.
Once. Right.
Also in a wheelchair.
In a wheelchair.
Used to be a
bodybuilding.
Yeah, yeah. He
machine,
won like awards and competitions.
Oh, whatever.
And, he was an amazing guy.
And I met him. Still had to do coffee with him, but I've been traveling a lot. For me, what you've just described, that's the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He has every reason to make excuses. And I don't believe people should be called inspiring just because they're in a wheelchair. I think you need to work to be called inspiring.
Sure, I know lots of vegetables in wheelchairs.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, but I know for lots of vegetables with legs.
Yeah, agreed. Marco, for me, describes exactly what you said. Like, I just want to say, we need to have that coffee and have that drink and do the work that we want to do.
And it impresses me, too, that you mean that, because I know you're going to do it.
No.
A lot of people will say that stuff because it like makes everybody goes, oh, what a nice guy. But I know you will. And the fact that you know him and you remember his name. Was it Seneca who spoke to you about this, Gareth? Very stoic mindset. Yeah, well, because I've been alive for 2,800 years, of course. That's Sir Seneca back in ancient Rome. The power of now, you be grateful for having 6 children you can't provide for.
Is he being serious?
No, I think Mapelo's referring to our social welfare system in South Africa, where you're paying for a whole lot of children you don't know about. So you're already a philanthropist, whether you like it or not. Everyone is. Even the meanest person you've ever met in South Africa, if they're a taxpayer, is a philanthropist on a scale that most like college kids in America wish they could be, right? Because your tax money is going to social grants.
Like, how
and
much,
there's like, I think each person in South Africa who pays tax, there are only about 2 million people who are paying income tax in the country. It's 1.7 to 2 million people paying income tax, which is the largest part of our tax intake. Those people are each supporting like 16 to 20 people. So congratulate yourself on that. If you feel like you're not doing enough for the world, do that.
Someone's saying out there, bloody blacks. Wait, I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you. 27th.
Yeah.
27th. You will never guess where I'm going for 2 days.
What are you doing?
You will never. No one will ever guess. I'm going to Oranje for 2 days.
No. The blacks are going to hate you.
No. Literally, I'm in Oranje, and it's been the most respectful.
You've been invited?
Respectful and amazing process.
Because people think that you can't go there if you're black.
All I'm telling you is that I've never been. I have accommodation.
I've heard it's very interesting.
They are showing me the place. I have a videographer who's coming. I want to play rugby against them. I want to play rugby.
I spoke to a Princess Belekazi Mabandla.
So good with names.
On Monday, and she's been to Iran. Mm. And she is the head of diplomacy for their royal family in the Eastern Cape. And she was saying to me that they're some of the nicest people that she's met, and it was very respectful and nice. Mm. So I hope you have a good experience. No, I want to hear about it.
I'll be there, and I actually look forward to it. Like, I'm driving 10 hours, because it's either I fly to Kimberley and then
Bloody
2 hours.
Blix. So you go to Kimberley. What is that, the nearest place?
Kimberley, in a two-hour drive. And I was just like, well, let me just drive from Cape Town. It's 10 hours.
Will you find that one EFF voter, please?
I do.
What I want us to do. I want to find that one EFF
that
voter.
One guy. I want to find that one.
Yes, again, don't get bitter about tax. This is interesting. Don't get bitter about tax, country, politics, etc. Just live your best fucking life and focus on your own life. Lee, you sound very... self-actualized. I'm impressed. I really am. There will always be reasons to complain. They're easy to find. Find reasons to be grateful and do it purposefully. I like that. I can't wait to hear what you think about Aranya. Siv.
I look forward to it.
Where can we hear about it? Well, you're gonna put your stuff on.
There will be content. Yeah, there will be content.
Okay. Social media is really making Aranya famous. The EFF and ANC must hate it. Funnily enough, I don't think that they are much bothered by Aranya, because there are enough other places in history and in the world that make them look shit for them to not have to worry about, like, some small town in the... What is it? The Free State? Northern Cape?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
Friend, here's another thing that I want to say is, what's your view on GNU? And...
Oh, boy.
They really are making ANC look better than they are. Mm. Like, there's a silence...
So all that's happened... happened is, like... The DA, as annoying as they are, have injected a fair amount of competence. Yes. Like, you've got at Home Affairs, for example, I can't even remember the guy's name. Suddenly he's getting shit work. Because really all like it takes is like a little bit of competence, right?
I drop him a DM, he answers immediately, and he helps me. Like, usually I used to call Musi. Musi used to help me.
Yeah.
Now I just DM the guy. He sends me an email. I email, done.
Well, I mean, you've got to know people. That's South Africa, right? Agreed. But the fact is, like, there's a little bit of competence going on there. And all it's doing is making the ANC look better and making the DA look worse. Because now we're focused on, like, what they're not doing. And I don't know. Like, I see a lot of people complaining about this. My favorite thing in the GNU is Gayton McKenzie.
I like him.
Without a doubt, he's got a different attitude. He's got personality. He's got charisma. I didn't vote for him as it is. I'm not sure I will. I don't know, really. Like, my one vote doesn't count that much anyway.
He sounds so educated.
Oh, but it's true. I mean, this is interesting to watch. But South Africa as a nation, we're moving on. And if the GNU illustrates anything to me, it's that... The average South African doesn't actually give a shit about party politics, whereas we're about this much interested in it.
Yeah.
And the ANC is no longer the majority party. They can't claim to speak on behalf of South Africa because they don't. They got 40%, man.
So, okay, but
have some humility. These politicians all need to be more humble.
Here's something that I think is dangerous about the GNU. For the 4 years, they're going to do a good job. Good job, good job, good job, good job. Right? ANC, ANC people are going to go vote for ANC again.
Mm-hmm.
Then ANC is not going to... You need the DA. Then there's no GNU. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what happens then? So we shouldn't forget how incompetent they are. But the more we forget about how bad ANC is, they will get their votes back. And then what's going to happen is... And we need EFF, buddy. We need EFF to remind us. Because at the moment...
We got MK. Because Julius is falling apart. There's nothing left there. No. Buseni's even out.
EFF is fucked. But no, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem, guys. We need EFF. Like, there are certain things without EFF that we would have never known about or heard about.
Pay back the money.
Or involve people in politics.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, MK, let me tell you one thing, and I'll say it right here now. Those are the kind of blacks I fear. And I'm a black.
Are you black?
Black as fuck.
Are you black?
But MK... You, even me, I'm scared. Those guys don't mess up.
Let me just say this. Like, people have said terrible things about Jacob Ketlehlekisa Zuma. Okay? That man plays the long game.
Oh, yes.
With every defection from the EFF, he sits there in Kantla and goes, he is a clever man.
Anyone who's married...
He is not fucking...
Anyone who's married to as many women as he has, he is. Yo,
you know how difficult that clever. Is.
But Chums, back to the GNU thing. ANC currently is getting away with murder. Like, people are forgetting...
Yeah.
Isidimeni, people are forgetting all these things that we shouldn't forget, that these guys are terrible humans.
Mm-hmm.
And now, DA helping.
I saw Musi, you mentioned Musi just now, and we've only got like a couple
I'm
of
very
minutes
biased.
Left. No, I know you are, but I saw him saying some very, very good things about our matrix in our education system. And I've kind of stayed out of it as much as I could, but I don't think our matrix certificate's worth shit anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone looks at it. I don't think universities go by that anymore, and certainly for the more difficult stuff that you have to study, they do their own internal tests. It's no good for getting into university anymore. And also, by the way, if you see how many passed with distinction in maths and science, mm-hmm. it's like 1% mm-hmm. of the number of kids who started in grade one. It's very bad. And then if you're employing people, like you employ people too, right? I don't really care what's on their matric certificate. Mm-hmm. It's not a worthwhile document. So all these people who are like agonizing about the matric certificate, I don't think it has any value.
I just want to say that the top student in the country is from my high school.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What's his name?
Public school. I don't know his name.
Okay.
From a Bruno. And what I, he put, he wore a
what Pilots, school?
Pilots High in Pilots, Cape Town.
Uh-huh.
And he wore a pro-Palestinian flag.
Jesus, okay. Yeah, it's going to ruin it for him now.
People are entitled to their views. You said that earlier, right?
In matric, you
someone
don't know.
Says...
You don't know what the fuck's going
need
on.
Need the EFF like we need a second asshole. Wow. Wow. That is some... someone's going to call that homophobic.
Hey, Lee makes a good point. Having a degree doesn't even matter anymore. Look, it does if you're an engineer or a doctor in like practical subjects, but... Absolutely, a BCom, a BA, a BSc, probably not. You know?
It's nearly 4 minutes to go.
What's on your mind? I haven't asked you once.
I just want to say, I think you're one of the best South Africans ever, and I feel like I always love when you say I must come onto the show, I'll come onto the show. I definitely think there's more you could do. I think you could be part of the change of the country, and I think you know that.
What are you talking about?
I think you could be.
What? This is enough.
I think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is the thing.
Right.
This is part of
look at
change.
These people. These people are changing things, and I'm just providing the platform.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This is part of it. I think you must do more.
All right.
This is more.
Okay.
This is the thing.
You're not suggesting that I should get into politics.
No.
Please no.
Can I tell you why you and I wouldn't work in politics?
Oh, for every reason under the sun.
Because we are both non-biased. We wouldn't work in politics. We will call out a party member and say you're wrong, and that doesn't work in politics.
You have to be loyal.
And
sometimes swallow your pride and make a deal. You know.
But it's been a pleasure, man.
Thank
so
you,
much
dude.
Love for you.
Thank you. I know you've got a busy day, and I appreciate you coming to spend time with us. Thank you, everybody. We will be back on Friday morning.
Snare wants me to come in for 3 hours. I'm gonna invoice you.
Yeah, there we go. Kill Gareth with kindness. Gareth, President, lol, or cult, really. Bring Tumi Morake with next time.
I love Tumi.
She's fucking great.
Huh? Great human.
Love her. Since meeting him for the first time at some dodge club in East London, the only person that does better and more the longer he's around. Awesome. That's you.
Oh, thank you.
If we used the gel Gareth put in his hair in 2004, we wouldn't need to keep tarring the roads all the time. Thank you. Very good. That's excellent. We'll end on that.
My love. Love and respect, guys.
Cheers, guys. We'll see you later. Bye.